Today on The Breakdown, sometimes there's a debate about who the most annoying person in poker is. And you could come up with some names, right? Will Kassouf is a pretty good one and probably gets the crown. But have you ever been in a room with Mike Mattisau? I mean, actually been in a poker room? And you don't have to be at his table. Anywhere in the room, and you know that guy is there, because not only does he talk a lot, he is very loud. Very loud. So he's got to be he's on the Mount Rushmore, for sure, of annoying poker players, I would guess, and certainly is a candidate for most annoying. But the thing about the mouth is he's got a lot of emotion. Boy, this guy cares. This guy digs deep, deep, Grant, and he cares so much, and it all leads to this. All paths ultimately lead to this hand. From the World Series of Poker main event, this is a very showy play. Let me just say this. And we got a text right away from a friend of ours about this hand, and a bunch of you suggested it. This is a hand where I wouldn't say this is the play that we have talked about in the past exactly, which was, of course, the bluff with almost no chips and almost essentially zero fold equity play. But it's a pretty interesting move that Mattisau makes on, like, day three of the main event. And day five of the main event, I am now being told by our producer. Thank you, Janine. And, I'm not sure about any of it. I'm excited to talk about the decision to make the play. I'm excited to talk about the player who's got to sort of deal with the fact that this play has been made and figure out what to do. I don't know if anyone's making good decisions here, but wow, wow, wow. Wow, 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 wow. That's what I want to say about that. That's all I want to say. Also, reader mail. Let's get into it right now in The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. All right, so the producers were wrong. It wasn't day five. It was day four.
God damn it, Janine.
Day four.
Okay.
But Janine Garofalo,
yeah.
To be clear,
yeah.
We only have famous interns and producers.
Yeah, Russell Crowe is an ex-intern.
He's not good. He is very violent. Very violent. Tilda Swinton's been okay as our Poker Time intern, but she's a little bit kind of ghost-like in his creepy way.
My least favorite intern moment, I think, was when Russell Crowe took the stapler and threw it down really hard on the floor and broke it and said, "Are you not entertained?"
Yeah, because he, like, it's like it felt so forced and played. Yeah. Like, Russell,
come on, man.
That's 22 years ago, man.
It's not funny. You, like, made that joke so many times already with the donuts. You did it yesterday with the donuts.
Can't you do something more recent? Do you have anything from the Nice Guys? anything? Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
But that's why Russell had to go.
Yeah.
So far, Janine Garofalo is working out pretty well. This is her first fuck up. And she gets three strikes, usually, depending on, you know, how much she talks back.
Right,
yeah.
Right. If she talks back a lot, maybe more strikes.
Yeah.
Because we love it. We love it when someone claps back.
Because, you know, Janine Garofalo can give it pretty well. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's going to be pretty funny what she says to us.
Yeah.
She's
doing, like, you know, semi-Seinfeld level observational humor regularly, which, you know, but is not so bad.
Sometimes it's too much, you know. It's like, yeah, I get it, but can we do a different thing?
She just did the whole, like, if it's brunch, why can't they have something for lunch and dinner? Why don't they call it Linner? You know, she's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, we know.
Yeah, Janine. I mean, like,
that's
not a good one. Sorry. Yeah. So, you know, if you're in a business where you have unpaid interns, I highly suggest getting celebrity unpaid interns.
Yeah, it's way better.
Way better.
Yeah, they get you into all the good places, obviously.
One thing I will say, though, because, like, I was saying, like, Russell Crowe, we fired him, it wasn't great. Yeah. You can try Russell Crowe if you want to, because there's some fun in, like, in the tension that's created in the room with the violence.
Yeah.
But do not hire Paul Giamatti. I'll just tell you what. Like, I'm not going to get into details because the lawyers will get on me about it. But, like, do not hire him as an unpaid intern.
It's not like there's a violent thing going on.
It's not violent at all.
No, but wow.
But it can result in death. That's all I'm saying.
There's a lot of one-upsmanship. Let me just say that with Paul Giamatti around. And we ain't doing the one-upsmanship.
No.
No, it's all Paul all the time, okay? It's like, Jesus, Paul, enough. We know you're good at checkers now. Like, no one cares, but... Oh yeah, you don't think I'm that good at check? I'm gonna show you. Know, it's like, it's nonstop with that guy. Like, just take a breath.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my advice for all of you employers out there.
We actually got to the point where we're buying soup for Paul Giamatti because we found he ate soup slowly and it shut him up for a while.
That's right. He does. To his credit, he savors soup like nobody else.
I mean, no,
you know,
it's incredible.
If you talk to him about soup, he'll be like, you know, it's really the tasting notes of of ash and orange peel. I'm like, we're talking about canned minestrone here. And he's like, I can taste everything. Yeah. Did you see sideways, you idiot?
Yeah.
He gets it. He gets it in a way that doesn't translate to good interning, though.
That's for sure. Yeah. Paul Giamatti is in one of the greatest TV episodes of all time. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
What show?
It's from the Chris Gethard show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yep. You almost already said too much. So.
I know. But that's why I was trying to be careful about it. But truly, one of the greatest episodes of television ever made, in my opinion.
It's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So is Mike Matisau. Right? I would call him a polarizing figure, but I wonder if it's all South Pole.
You know? It's almost all South Pole. I mean, the few people who defend him at this point, I think it's mostly like people who are just like him and nobody else.
Some people in the poker community who have been like our Daniel Negreanu interview, which was not amazing and did not get much traction, we did 5 years ago or so. We ended up talking with him about Mike Matisau, who he had been one of the defenders of Mike Matisau for many years, but it was clear by that time of that interview that he was done with Mike.
He had some shit with Mike that he did not mind airing in that interview, and we were pretty surprised by it. We were unable to handle it because we are not good interviewers. Like, we did not do good things but he really, he let him have it a bit.
Right.
That was surprising.
I wonder, does Phil Hellmuth still kind of like, you know, back Mike and like hang out with Mike? I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Phil was on Live at the Bike with Mike. Maybe it was like 2 or 3 years ago now. And he actually said that he put Mike in the game and stuff like that. So my guess is they're still friends, but I don't really know anything. And wouldn't want to, quite frankly. Those are two people I would really be upset to be trapped in an elevator with.
Oh, yeah. That's a nightmare.
That would be one of the worst. I mean, I could pick almost anyone. I'll take some bad people. I almost don't want to say the names of the people.
Yeah, just don't then.
Because it's bad.
Yeah, it's because they're going to be annoying, which was part of your opening. Is Mike Matisau the most annoying person in poker?
Probably not.
So who are the candidates? You said one other person.
Will
Kassouf, that's a great candidate. Maurice Hawkins is potentially a candidate.
That's pretty good.
He's just, he's probably less annoying than those guys.
I think he is.
He's just very boastful and won't shut up.
I think he also is not doing it all the time. And Will Kassouf is nonstop, 100%, which is why he's got a good shot at winning this. And Matisau is kind of most of the time, right? And is so loud, like that it's annoying even if you're really far away from him, which sucks.
Yeah.
And we know this. We've been in the room with him, right? It's like, Jesus, man, just a little quieter.
I think the consensus, though, among the high stakes pros right now might be Martin Cabrel.
Everybody hates
that guy.
They hate him.
I don't really know much about it. I know that our friend, one of our friends played with him in the main event and had a very negative experience. This was before all of the stuff came out this year about how nobody likes Martin Cabrel.
Oh, yeah.
And our friend said all the same stuff. He just like doesn't look at his hand for like 30 seconds every time when it's his action and just tanks forever and is super annoying at the table with everything he says. And nobody likes him. It's strange.
Yeah. Our friend was sending us, we didn't ask and we weren't pushing back on this, but our friend was sending us, you know, clips from Poker News or anything like that. Anytime anyone put down, or Twitter, people putting down Mark Cabrel, almost like, see, I told you, told you. Like, we believed you the first time, but it's cool. It's cool.
So he's definitely in the running.
Yeah. I would guess he's him and Will Kassouf. I mean, Will Kassouf wastes an amazing amount of time.
Yeah.
I think Will Kassouf is probably the worst, although I haven't played with Cabrel and haven't seen Cabrel much. I watched him a little bit at one of the final tables recently, and he wasn't that bad at that final table anyway. And Will Kassouf is always super annoying after the first 30 minutes, and you're like, oh my God, this is just the same thing
on
a loop.
It's going to keep going.
And it never, ever ends. I want to kill him.
Now, this is not going to be the winner, but I want to have an honorable mention. And it's only because of how he acted during one final table in his life. And I'm not sure if he's acted this way before or again. But the amount of praying that Jerry Yang did at the final table still annoys me. It still annoys me. And like, not just the amount.
That's not even close.
Not just the amount, but also the level of praying.
Sure.
Like, Jesus, show me your purpose. Like, that was just too much. It was definitely annoying me.
I'll grant you that's annoying, but that is not constant. You know, it's only like in big all-in moments and stuff like that. So it's only going to happen like once every 3 hours.
Right. He's not annoying if he's just sitting there and he's going to act fast and
he's fine. So like, I don't think he's anywhere close to this.
I agree. I agree.
But that's a funny one.
That's why it's an honorable mention.
Yeah. Obviously there's a bunch of other super annoying people. There's people who think their job is just to get everyone on tilt. I don't really know why. because they don't have any other edge. They're afraid they don't have any other edge. I don't know. It sucks. Poker should be fun and social, and it sucks when it isn't. That's my overall take on that.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people who play with them would say some of the high-stakes pros who tank forever on every decision are count among the most annoying. Like Andrew Roble famously tanks forever.
I mean, Vogel saying, you know, tanks 2 minutes now forever. He's like, if any hand in my range, I would have to tank for 2 minutes. I have to tank for all of them for 2 minutes. That's how he plays it right now.
Yeah.
And He's going to be one of the big reasons why I think even the World Series is going to have to go to some form of like time extension.
I had forgotten that earlier on in the World Series this year, he was a pariah for a while for how he was tanking so long at a final table.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you know what you're doing. It's such a straightforward hand. Just play the fucking hand. But I understand he's thinking about macro stuff, and I understand why he's doing it. But if you put a maximum on how much time these decisions can take, like 30 seconds, now maybe he's going to tank for 30 seconds every time, but that still saves a minute and a half every fucking action for him.
That's got to be the answer, because otherwise poker is unwatchable and also maybe a little bit unplayable if people start doing this a lot.
I agree completely. I mean, it may eventually get to the point where if people then always max out their time, even if it's 30 seconds, that will eventually get really rough too. And then they'll just give people like a clock, like in chess.
Yeah.
Where it's like you get 10 minutes total. And every time you get an action, we add 5 seconds to it. So like if you act relatively quickly, you always have that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? But, and actually, even if you go down, you can sort of earn it back by folding really quickly and acting quickly for a while. You know, you can slowly add seconds to your time. But effectively, you've got 10 minutes of like tanking time total. You know, like that seems great. And that seems like where we may end up having to be, although that would be a nightmare to keep track of, I think, from the dealer point of view, because there's so many players and stuff. But maybe they'll figure out a way to do it. All of it is not great. It's just nicer if we just had it where, you know, people acted in reasonable amounts of time all the time and it was fine. But they just can't do it.
Nope. Not if you're a human computer.
I mean, there was a 19-minute tank, as we know, once they were heads up. At the World Series main event. And I'm not even saying that was wrong, but wow, 19 minutes is a really long time.
It would be good to limit people from being able to do that. I understand if there's ever a spot for a 19-minute tank, it's heads up for the main event.
I don't fault Adrian Attenborough at all for that. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
I know he was thinking about a lot of stuff. I know it was really complicated. And they were playing literally for $4 million, so it's a big decision. And I would probably want, if I were in his shoes, to be given as much time as I could possibly take. And he doesn't gain anything by tanking at that point. He's just doing it because he's trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing showy. The other guy's all in. There's nobody else at the table. He's not hurting anyone except the other guy just has to wait, you know, and your side just had to wait. Still, it sucks. It's not great. It's certainly not good for TV, right?
There could be an application of it that, like that type of tank, if that is allowed, even heads up at the main event. Let's say your opponent has 20 blinds and you have 120 and there's 10 minutes until the blinds go up. You know, you could tank until the blinds go up and you're a lot more likely to bust that player a lot faster. Yeah.
Although in the World Series, generally the blinds go up pretty slowly. You know what I mean? I don't mean time-wise, but I mean in terms of, so like they go from 20 blinds to 18 blinds and it's not as big a deal, but obviously in a lot of tournaments, that's not the case.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I just lost a third of my stack kind of a thing. So that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I've done almost no unnecessary tanking in my life, but I have done it. And it's not great. Not great. Hey, listener mail time.
Oh, it's listener mail
Changing the subject.
Wow, I didn't even know. This is a surprise to me.
I mentioned in the opening, but I guess you weren't listening.
I didn't.
It hurts my heart that you weren't listening.
I chose not to listen.
But you always listen to critique. I sort of threw it in at the end. I was like, and also listener mail on the breakdown.
You know, by the end, that was a pretty long opening. I was trying to line up my things that I was going to respond to, you know?
I understand. You're in your own head. You're not present.
Right.
Just be with me, man.
No.
Just be here now.
I'm too important for that.
Anyway, Ben writes to us on Twitter, and he says, blah, blah, blah. He's playing live. He's playing 1-3 at his local casino pre-COVID. This happened, apparently. This has been on his mind ever since it happened. He doesn't remember all the action in the hand, but he remembers this particular player gave off an untrustworthy vibe. Certain ways he was acting almost seemed as if he was trying to gain extra information by moving his chips a certain way. And also the way he talked during hands seemed fishy. So I had been keeping an eye on him mostly to protect myself from getting angled and to also gain information so I could possibly exploit him in the future. I've already folded and our fishy friend was in the one seat, and we were in the seat 5 or 6, but had a good view of our opponent. We'd already folded. He was heads up in a pot with another random player on the river. The random player checks, and we are watching our fishy friend who has position. He has his hands over his cards and clearly taps the felt twice. The dealer immediately reacts, asks for showdown, and he says, the fishy friend, no, I didn't mean to check. Since I had watched the hand and had seen the motion, I spoke up and said, yeah, that was a check. He shot me a look, shrugged, and rolled over two pair and was awarded the pot. My question is, was I out of line? Should I not have said anything? I felt bad because I felt like my read was off because he was actually considering a bet, but his motion was clearly indicated a check. And I already had a bad feeling to begin with. I saw him later on, blah, blah, blah. So he's wondering, what do we think about this, basically?
About speaking up in this particular case.
In this kind of a case, yes. I certainly have thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts begin with myself in that I find myself speaking up maybe too much in spots like that. I think like there's definitely been a few times where I'm like, I should have just not said anything, you know, but it's especially if the dealer's a little weak, I feel like a protector of the table for whatever reason. I don't really know why, but because a lot of people know me or something. I'm not exactly sure. And overall, it's probably better just to never say anything unless something really out of line is happening would be my guess. But I've definitely done like a very similar thing to this where I'm like, yeah, I definitely saw a check there. And especially if you have this angly vibe from this player, especially if you really know they're an angler type, if it's Sam Sovril or something, then I would want to speak up.
That feels different.
Yeah. I think it's, since it's a cash game, I'm less inclined to speak up than a tournament. In a tournament, every action affects every player more.
Mm.
Whereas in a cash game, it's kind of like just an iterated game of hand after hand after hand.
I think the other question we have to ask ourselves is there like, so the player makes what looks like a checking motion. The dealer says, go to showdown. The player seemingly immediately says, no, I haven't checked. Is there anything they gained by quote fake checking if they were doing that? Because like if the other player rolls over their hand and now they say, no, I haven't checked, that feels really different. But if nothing's happened, like they you know, they accidentally did a checking motion and we're in a 1-3 game, to me, like, intention is everything here. And like, if we don't think the player was angling in that moment, I understand you think he's an angly player, but if he didn't get any new information and saying, I didn't check, I don't know why, like, no one's to act after them. This is the river. Like, I don't know why they aren't allowed to. So I would always be inclined in almost every case to let them bet if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think you're right because it's hard to find the incentive. I mean, it's not like you're really going to get that much of a reaction from the other player other than them turning their hand over, but the player seemed to try to get the dealer to stop from saying it's showdown time. So that's a fair point.
As soon as the other player starts to indicate anything about the strength of their hand, I think it's over. I don't think then the guy can say, I didn't check. Like, too bad. Like,
too bad you tap the table twice. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Now, but like, if you tap the table twice, the other player doesn't react in any way, and the dealer's like, show it down. And you're like, no, I didn't check.
Yeah,
like I think you should absolutely be allowed to bet in a cash game, especially. But even in a tournament, if it's clear, like, look, if we're playing a $10,000 buy-in tournament with David Peters and he does that, fuck yeah, that's a check.
Yeah,
too fucking bad, David Peters. But like, I think being overly rules-based, where a lot of times people are going to make mistakes in poker, or don't know all the rules, they don't understand, or they just make mistakes because they're not used to it the way a lot of us are. Like, I don't want to penalize them for that. I want them to feel welcome, and I want it to be, what did you mean to do? That's what we're doing. In any case where it doesn't hurt anyone else. Like, that's what I want, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to know when to speak up. It really is.
Of course.
I think in that case, that Ben, is that right?
Yeah.
In the case that Ben is speaking of, I probably would have said something too. Mm. And then later thought, like, I probably shouldn't have said anything because what's the incentive? I've seen a version of this before where the out-of-position player does this type of action, and then the other player bets
or checks.
And then they say, oh, wait, I never checked.
Right.
Like, and that can be a real angle.
If it goes check, and they're like, oh, maybe I can blow him off the hand now or what. Yeah, that feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think, like, in general, it probably is a good practice when you see, even if you think something fishy is happening, like you think that was probably an angle, just to keep your mouth shut for a while and let that thing play out before you decide to, I'm saying you, meaning you, the royal you, not you, Grant, but you too. Like let it all play out and see if like it can sort of resolve itself before you come in as the person. Now, sometimes that's not going to happen, right? If you have a weak dealer, for example, right? But if the dealer's already maybe handling it, like in this case, the dealer said showdown and the person said, I didn't mean to check. I don't know why Ben feels the need to come and say that was a check. Like Ben can let the dealer handle it. You know, if you feel like something unjust is happening, you can speak up later before the next hand is dealt, of course, but you can wait to speak up and then you're not involved unless you feel you have to be.
Right. And if the player doesn't need an advocate, you don't need to be their advocate, right? Like if you are the opponent in the hand, then you certainly have a right to say that's a check.
Of
if you
course.
Want it to be a check, like, because they did the action of a check. But when you have nothing to gain from it and you have no sides and the player doesn't seem like they need help, then you should probably just not say anything, because we're all out for ourselves in poker, and it's your job to protect yourself at the table. That's part of your job at the table.
Yep. And to be clear, even if I'm the opponent, and even if I'm against someone who is like knows what they're doing, and they don't think they checked, and I think they did, and they would be in this situation where they're last to act, and they didn't get any new information, I would let them bet. I wouldn't like try and say that's a check. Like, I would believe they didn't mean to. And like, again, like if you accidentally knock your chips over and they go into the pot, that isn't a call.
Right.
If someone's bet, you get to pull them back, because we know the intention wasn't a call.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but it's the protecting yourself thing goes both ways, right?
Of course.
It's that guys who tap the table twice drop to know that that means check. So don't do that.
Yeah.
You know,
no, that's
if you
true.
Don't, if you don't want to check.
No, that's true. It's funny. I was thinking about this recently where I was in, this is years ago now, I was playing in a tournament and we were, it got to the point where I think it was, it folded to me in the small blind, and I was talking to the big blind, and I was telling him a story, and I said, yeah, you know, and then I said, I check, and then I blah, 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 blah. Or no, I was in the big blind, right? It has to be. And I'm in the story, I'm saying that I said I check.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that's what I said, and everyone at the table was like, that's a check. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, and they forced me to like not raise preflop. Now, I don't even remember what I had or if I would have wanted to, but it felt really weird that like clearly that wasn't my intention. You know, I wasn't checking.
The other side is like, it is your job to protect yourself in that spot and be aware of the action and when it's on you, and you know, don't say words that are poker actions at that time.
But that's a little ridiculous, right? Because people sometimes say like, is he all in? Like also, even just when someone goes all in, if you're like all in, you can do that, and that's not you being all in. Now, I understand that's questionable, and you probably shouldn't do that to protect yourself. But like, no, if you're doing it as a question, like you should not be held in as like that's an all in. Of course, it isn't, right? Because we're trying to capture intention here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
I think that's a close one. Your spot that you described.
I didn't think. You mean the all in thing or the thing I said?
The thing you said.
Really? God. Not at all.
I mean, I don't. I wouldn't want to be a player at the table and said that's a check. I would have like understood. I think if I were at the table, I said, you know, he didn't mean to check. I would have said that. But I also could see them being like, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, it was not like a huge tournament. It was fine. I just like, oh, okay, that's weird.
I mean, and I want to elaborate a little bit more with Ben, because I have the same, like I mentioned earlier, the protector instinct to like make sure the table is fair or whatever. Which I need to shed a little bit of. Like, I have a recent example of this playing locally here in Portland, where, as many of you know who listen a lot, we have bomb pots are a big thing here in Portland.
Yeah.
And certain tables are more bomb pot oriented than others. Like there are certain special tables where there's two bomb pots per orbit instead of one.
Yeah.
And there's
great.
More games available during the bomb pot. So there's like a list of like 15 games that you can call. The bomb passes around and you get two bombs. And every time the bomb's on you, you can call what game you want to play. Right. And certain players don't want to play certain games.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a player at my table, who was only playing the most normal bomb pot game, which is 5-2-2. We don't need to get into what that is.
Yeah.
But
it's Omaha.
Yeah.
With two boards.
Yeah. And five cards. And she only wanted to play that game from every orbit that I saw forever. Right. Mm-hmm. And anytime anybody called a different game, she would sit out. And then she was kind of like looking at her phone, hanging out, and a bomb pot came around and somebody called a different game and she put her $5 in and the cards were dealt. And I turned to her and I said, I just want to be clear for you, just because you know, because I've only seen you play 5-2-2, that this is not 5-2-2. I forgot what game it was.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a different game.
That's good.
But she was like, oh yeah, I know what it is. And like seemed a little offended.
Oh.
You know, and so it's like a little bit of like, oh, maybe it's not my job to protect her. If she loses that $5, so be it. Like,
well, it's not about losing the $5.
Well,
though,
if
right?
she loses a lot more because she doesn't
she
know
the goes
game.
All in because she thinks she's got the nuts and she has the anti-nuts.
Right.
You know, that happens for
sure.
Yeah,
it does. It does.
I think it's cool that you did that, and I would want to do that.
Okay.
Too.
I felt a little bit like she felt like I was like calling her stupid or something.
She probably did.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's cool you did it.
Okay.
Personally. Like,
okay.
I would want someone to do that. Look, when I play these bomb pots, every so often, I find myself being confused about the game. Like, I think we're playing a high-low game, and we're not. I've really done that. And, like, to the point where my new thing is, like, don't call a big all-in on the river until you verify what the game is one more time. Like, recheck, motherfucker. Because, like, I've almost called all-ins a few times where I'm like, well, I have at least the nut low. And maybe I win. Maybe I quarter this guy once in a time. A little bit seems unlikely. And then, like, I'm like, wait a second. Is that the nut low? Or, you know, that isn't. There is no nut low. There are no lows.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, oh, shit. So, anyway, I think, especially for stuff like that, that's I appreciate it when people do that. So anyway.
I think it would have been fine if I didn't say anything, though, right? Because it's her job to pay attention and protect herself.
Of course it is. Yeah. Ultimately, it's on her. But it's nice if you try and be helpful to people.
Okay. I felt like I was
being a good citizen.
Okay.
And now you know never to say that to her again.
Yeah. And I think, Ben, you were trying to be a good citizen too, right? Of course.
Yeah.
And that can just go wrong sometimes.
I mean, it seems like Ben had it out for this guy a little bit.
A little bit.
He's like, this guy's an angle shooter and I'm going to, but you know, maybe the guy is an angle shooter. That could be true. So yeah. Fair enough. There's not much you can really do about angle shooters.
No.
Though.
Except, it's just protect yourself and it's not your job to protect the other players.
Yeah.
I guess that's the ultimate advice there.
I think mostly that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway,
all right.
That was great. Great
good,
work.
Good listener mail. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks.
So yeah, if you have any questions like that Ben asked, there was a previous episode that came out maybe a month and a half ago that had a different listener mail question that we enjoyed doing a lot. If you have any questions like that, feel free to direct message us on Twitter or do it on Discord.
Yeah, send us your poker questions, man. We might just answer them.
We might.
It's possible.
Let's answer the poker question of should Mike Mattisau have done what Mike Mattisau did?
I'm so excited to talk about this hand.
Okay, I'm glad for you.
Really,
I'm glad for you, and I'm glad for Wesley Cannon because he gets to solve our creation. Because the coverage only started on the turn, so we had to kind of recreate to the best of our ability how we got to the turn.
Yeah, even Poker News, who did a write up on it, is like starting from the river.
Yeah.
So we had to do our best, but we're pretty sure this is at least close enough.
It's close enough that the analysis can be cogent and it'll make sense, and like it's not going to change really what our analysis would be on the river, most likely.
Which is all the big stuff happens on the river, for sure. And even the turn, there's some interesting stuff, a little bit of interesting stuff on the turn, but we saw all that. So we know where we are once we get to that point.
Right.
So it's good.
So this is a Poker Guys creation.
Ah, Poker Guys joint.
Yeah, this is a Poker Guys joint.
Produced by us.
And Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
Ovi Kenobi, Eugene Portland, Danny Sprung, who is one of our solvers, but not solving this one, and Digital Dan from Poker Time are the suggestors of this hand. Congratulations.
Indeed.
You made us talk about Mike Mattisau. Thanks a lot. Like, wow. Give an air to this guy. Really, really good job, guys. Really proud of you.
I'm so glad we're doing it.
All right, good.
That's what I have to say about that.
All right, day 4 of the main event. 6K, 12K with a 12K big blind ante. Mike Mattisau has 447K, so he's got about 40 bigs.
Okay.
He's in the cutoff with ace of diamonds, 7 of clubs. Now, we think what happened is that he opened to 30K.
It could be a little less, but it's somewhere right around there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something like 30K. It's
2 to 2.5
blinds. 25 to 30K. Yeah. The pre-flop sizing and the flop sizing, you can inverse them a little bit one way or the other, depending on what you believe to be true, man.
Right.
You know,
it doesn't really matter, though. We're close enough that that's all that matters for this part of it.
Yeah. He has ace of diamonds, 7 of clubs in the cutoff. Cool.
Seems fine.
Mikolaj Zawadzki.
Woohoo!
Mikolaj Zawadzki has 100 bigs, 1.2 million.
Yep.
He is on the button, and he has 8-9 of clubs, and he's going to make the call. What do you think about calling versus raising this hand?
The only concern I have with calling is I'm a little worried about the stack-to-pot ratio, like basically how deep Mattisau is. So Mattisau's got, like, what is it, less than 40 blinds, right? It's probably fine. I guess it's fine. He's opening pretty wide. We can really 3-bet this, though, a reasonable amount of the time. But it's okay to call, too. This is a hand that plays well multi-way. We're comfortable if the big blind wants to come in, too, and see this 3-ways. We're on the button. That's pretty nice. It seems very reasonable to call here.
I agree. It's fine.
Yeah.
3-betting is also fine.
Yeah.
Folding would be a disaster.
Feels a little too nitty.
Yeah. The big blind calls. We don't know anything about the big blind, who it is, or what they have, or anything.
Or even if they actually called, it could have been the small blind. We're going with the big blind for this story.
It doesn't
matter.
It's more likely.
Talk about a garbage human. Holy moly.
We don't even, they might not even exist.
There could have been a dead big blind for all we know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There are no dead big blinds, obviously. But
right, and also, you know, there had to be another caller, or else the math doesn't work.
But it could have been the small blind.
It could have
been. But you can't have a dead big blind, so it couldn't be the small blind. Anyway.
The big blind might have not been at the table.
Hey.
It might have been getting a sandwich.
Anyway.
You know, at the poker kitchen.
$22 sandwich.
Yeah. 108,000 chips in the pot.
Okay.
Here we are. Day 4 of the main event. Queen of clubs, 5 of clubs, 5 of hearts.
Yep.
There's no way we can make this heads up, right? Like, I'm just thinking a little bit further about our reconstruction. Is it possible that we can make this heads up? Probably not.
I don't think it's reasonable. Mattisau could have opened bigger and bet smaller on the flop or something. It seems very unlikely that those things would have happened.
Yeah.
So I think it's absurd to make it heads up.
All right. So we're going to call it 3-ways here.
Let's do it.
To the best of our guess, the big blind checks.
Yep.
Mattisau bets 27K into 108K.
Yep.
Assuming this is correct, do you think it's right to bet your ace high hand for equity denial when you have two callers here?
I think it probably is, actually. Queen 5-5 is going to miss a lot of our opponents. We clubs is one of the things that's most likely to call us besides a queen. We have a club in our hand. That's pretty good. It's not the ace of clubs, but still. I think it's fine three ways, especially when you're looking at the button and the big blind calling ranges, which are going to be wider. I mean, look, the button, for example, we don't know what the big blind had, but the button's got, what is it, 9-8 of clubs. He could have had 9-8 of anything else and have nothing going on here, essentially. Yeah. Turns out he has 9-8 of clubs, so he's going to be interested. I think it's totally fine to bet this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. Especially the sizing. It's like you're giving yourself a pretty damn good price to win.
Yeah, 27K into 108. Yeah. I mean, this is going to work more than enough of the time, I would think.
All right, as Zawadzki on the button, you got the two options. You got the raise and you got the call.
Yes.
How do you decide what you're going to do?
It's interesting. So we probably have, I'm trying to think if we have more fives than Mike. I don't know if we do actually have more fives than Mike, right? Mike can open ace five. Can we call ace five? I guess we can. Ace five suited,
Mike,
of course.
Mike can open ace five off, though.
Yeah, and we can't. We can't have ace five off. We probably both can have 5-6 suited.
4-5 suited even.
Yeah, Mike can probably have 7-5 suited. Maybe we can't. Mike has more fives. I don't think we can raise.
Okay, good point. If we were the big blind, do you think it's a raise? If we have if the big blind has a club draw, it's probably a raise, right?
I love attacking as the big blind here on this kind of a
because we have all the fives.
Yeah. Even if Mike has a queen, he's going to be very uncomfortable and often isn't going to be able to call down to with multiple barrels with just a queen, right? When we're in the big blind, we just got him. I mean, he can decide to hero and be like, I hope you have a club draw. But every time we have a five, he's just going to get screwed and we can have a lot of fives. Yeah.
All right. Well, Zawadzki does make the call.
I mean, it's fine. He's in position. Mike's going to check a lot on the turn, and we can just take it away, right?
Yep. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I love it.
Just like nitro betting sounds good to me.
Whoa.
Do you like eating delicious food?
I do not mind it.
Do you like paying $0 for first-class travel?
I feel weird about that, actually, and don't feel good
Do you like paying $5 for first-class travel?
Yes, I feel good there, because I need some transaction.
Do you like having the best day of your life?
No. No, because that means I'm never going to have another.
Okay, do you like having an incredible day that in the end might rank as the best day of your life, but you're not sure because you might have another good day?
Huh. I'm going to have to think about that and get back to you.
If you like good things like this, you'll like nitro betting. Classic advertising, right?
Yeah, we're killing it.
Use the link in the description of this podcast when you sign up for Nitro Betting to get access to exclusive Poker Guys deals and the monthly Poker Guys tournament, which you won't even be able to see in the lobby if you don't use the link when you sign up.
Which would be dumb.
That would be idiotic. You would be basically a complete piece of trash.
Wow.
And I wouldn't want to hear from you. I would not be sad when he died.
We really went for it there, huh?
Yeah.
I was going to go in a different direction, but sure.
But you're going to just bandwagon on my excellent thing.
Back you up. Yeah. 100%.
I appreciate that.
I'm supportive.
And that's the thing that you get when you join the Poker Guys with the link in the Nitro Betting. You get Jonathan's support. He's going to back you up.
You join the Poker Guys with the link in Nitro Betting.
Yeah.
You join Nitro Betting with the link.
It doesn't matter what the order is if they get what I'm saying. And I'm pretty sure they're going to understand what I mean.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I don't want them. We only want the smarts.
Mm.
None of the dumbs.
Right.
Yeah. The dumbs don't belong.
No.
So be one of the smarts.
Sure.
Use the link in the description. There's also, of course, casino games, sports betting, all the fun that you can ever put on a bun, you know? Delicious. It's like a manwich, except it's way better.
A manwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
You know what a manwich is?
A sandwich is turned into a manwich with Sloppy Joe, right?
I think so.
Something like that, right? Turn a sandwich into a manwich. I remember that. That was like old school advertising before your time, I think.
I think so. I only know about it because of Futurama.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I actually saw ads where they said that word multiple times. It was dumb.
I haven't had a Sloppy Joe for a while.
No, me either.
And if you haven't had a Sloppy Joe for a while, Nitro Betting's for you.
Because they're giving them away.
Yeah, maybe.
They're essentially
giving
away.
There's no guarantee, but they might.
I mean, anything's possible,
yeah,
I guess, right?
It could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. You could get a Sloppy Joe in the mail. Is that what everybody wants? in a paper envelope.
What's more likely, you winning like the Mega Millions or you getting a Sloppy Joe in the mail from Nitro Betting? It's unclear.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. But, and which one would you want more?
And you'd probably pay $1 for that lottery ticket and have all this hope and thought around it. The Nitro Betting Sloppy Joe, you probably just, oh my gosh, what a happy surprise. You know?
There's no greater gain than infinite.
ROI
is infinite versus the $1 to 400 million or whatever it is. That's not infinite.
No, you're losing. You're losing on that.
Yeah, compared to the
Big
Sloppy
time.
Joe situation.
Big time.
Do not eat the Sloppy Joe.
Oh my God. You will die for sure.
Do not eat it.
The gut health will be a problem.
Just know that it's there. You know, keep it for a while.
Yeah, it's nice that they sent it. I mean, you will have to throw it out and probably seal it in something, you know, so that way the smell and the bacteria doesn't escape. But yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. Nitro bedding.
Yeah. You know, all the things we say on this and these ads, they're not all true, but they're all kind of true.
There's all, I mean, look, every joke, you know, there's a big piece of truth behind it. Huge piece of truth behind it.
Yeah, always. So. Everybody says that all the time, and it's always right. Right. All right. So here we are heading to the term. We're heads up. We got Mike Medesau against Mikołaj Zawadzki.
Yeah.
The pot's 162,000. Mike's got ace seven off, and Zawadzki has 8-9 of clubs on the queen 5-5 two club board.
Sure.
The turn is the four of hearts. It brings a second heart.
Okay.
And they both check.
What? And why? I understand Mike checking.
All right. So with Mike's check,
yeah,
it's a little precarious to go for the bet here as Mike. You know, it's as the pure bluff. You're now saying, okay, I hope you have a club draw and I'm going to bet big and you can't call with a club draw on a paired board.
Guess who has a club in his hand, too? Like, we have exactly the wrong hand.
He has a seven of clubs. Yeah. So now you're trying to get him to fold a queen.
Right.
Because they're not folding a five, obviously.
Right. And let's remember, we think that big blind was in this hand, too. So they probably don't have, like, pocket eights here on a queen 5-5 with someone behind them, right?
Yeah.
So probably really, we're targeting a queen. That's a terrible thing to target. Let's not do that.
Especially when we have a club in our hand.
Yeah, we should be giving up.
Yeah, so we like Mike's check.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice job, Mike. God, I hate saying
Mike's
that.
Mike's nailing it.
I hate that.
So far, so good. Mike manages
that. I don't like it. So as Zawadzki, now you have the 9-high flush draw.
Yeah.
Feels like a bet, right?
Feels like an obvious bet. Like, I don't understand why we're not betting.
We could have like queen nine suited plus, and we could definitely bet all of that.
Yep. I don't know if we can really have queen nine suited in the main here.
We could definitely have queen 10 suited.
100% we can have queen 10 suited. And maybe we can have queen nine. Maybe you're right.
And we can have some fives.
We can have some fives. I don't know why in the world we wouldn't bet, especially this flush draw. Right, if we had ace of clubs, that's one thing.
If we had ace 10 of clubs, I could see checking back, being like, okay, I can like take a free card and get some. I still have showdown value against Mike's range. It's fine.
We should probably bet that sometimes too to get hands like pocket sevens to fold, but like it's okay to check back the showdownable flush draw.
Yeah.
But the 9-high flush draw, I just don't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, guess what Zawadzki does?
What?
He checks.
But why? But why? There's no really good reason.
It's just kind of a bad play, I think. Like, when you can rep a bunch of stuff and you have no showdown value, it feels like a really good time to bet when your opponent basically waves the white flag.
And also, when called, you still have equity. You can hit a club. Yeah. Maybe a 9 or an 8, by the way. Those are good. But a club, for sure, is almost always going to be good if we hit it, right? So, like, it's not like where you have an air ball here. We have real equity, too. I don't know why we're not betting. It seems bad. We're taking, like, our 24% equity. I'm assuming some 9s and 8s are good some of the time. And just like saying, we're going to lose 3/4 of the time here instead of like, I'll just win almost always by betting.
Well, let's seek to understand because that's our job here. And I do see a benefit, which is it's harder to put you on a club draw when you check back.
It sure as hell is. It's really hard to put us on a club draw. Also, if we think Mike has been bluffy. Now, according to Mike, later on, and when he started, was talking about not just this hand, but in general, he said he'd been playing very, very tight. So I don't know if that's true, but according to Mike, he's been playing very tight for hours. If Mike's been bluffy at all, maybe we get to induce, but we have to improve, of course, to induce,
right? But
which is problematic.
But, you know, we do get there a quarter of the time, and and that's pretty nice.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
It still feels like we should bet.
Yeah.
Having said that, those are, like, not good enough reasons when by betting we almost always win the pot right now, right? Yeah. Like, we win such a large percentage of the time.
Yeah, and I mean, we do have 100 bigs, so it's not like the pot is super meaningful to us as compared to some other stacks. So maybe it's worth swinging for the, like, let's hope he doesn't think we'd ever have a club draw, and when the club comes in, I have a better chance of getting more money.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, maybe Mike checks the river also, and then we can actually bluff the river. Like, sometimes we actually get another opportunity to bluff.
Yeah.
So there's that, too.
We can still rep a queen on the river. We might check back with a queen sometimes.
Especially the bad queens.
Yeah.
Or by the way, now we don't really ever have pocket tens here though, do we? Because we're almost always folding that on the flop.
And almost always three betting at preflop.
Yeah. But even if we weren't, we're probably folding on the flop most of the time with the big blind behind us and Mike deciding to bet into both players, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But like bad queens or even some good queens we might check back once in a while because we're like, I have ace queen and why, or king queen, why let Mike just off the hook here?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So maybe there could be some benefits to this check.
Yeah.
We might see that there are.
I think we might.
Yeah. All right, so still 162K in the pot. Queen of clubs, five of clubs, five of hearts, four of hearts. The river is the king of clubs.
Kazowie. What a card.
Zawadzki makes it, gets the flush.
Yeah.
Mike has nothing still. He does have the seven of clubs as a blocker, which is not the best thing in the world, but it's better than nothing.
Yep.
And the ace of diamonds, which does nothing for him, except for maybe give some showdown value, but not really against when the club comes in, I think ace high has no showdown value.
I agree. Zero.
Yeah. All right. Should you bluff as Mike?
We have a club in our hand. Our opponent did not bet the turn. The king comes also. I think we should try and get the queen to fold right now. Yeah. Yes. I think we should bluff.
Hope he doesn't have king queen and bluff.
Yeah. If he has king queen, it doesn't work. Yeah. But like, man, everything besides king queen is like hates their life. Now, not a flush, obviously, but like all the reasonable hands we can give.
Zawadzki.
Zawadzki, thank you. All the queens, basically, except for king, queen, really hate their life.
They really shouldn't let Europeans play poker just for the sake of Jonathan Levy when he does the breakout.
I'll just call him Mikolaj and it'll be fine.
Will you?
I'm going to try.
Okay. Mikolaj, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like a good time to rep a king. You could have, like, probably king seven suited plus if you're Mike in this position.
I think so.
Yeah, and king 10 off plus. So might as well rep all that. It's a good idea. Mike does it. Damn it. I like how Mike's playing the hand so far.
Let's talk about sizing. There's 162K in the pot. How much do you want to bet? Don't get anchored by his actual sizing.
I'm trying not
to. It's hard not to, I know.
Yeah. I'm really trying not to. If there are 162K in the pot, if I'm in the main event and I think my opponent is kind of a no-name, not a pro, I'm going to lean towards slightly bigger sizing just to make sure they fold the queen, scare them a little bit more, like 100K, something like that. What do you think?
That's interesting. I'm aware that we're on day four, so this guy's been around for a bit anyway. He's got a reasonable stack. Maybe that's a reason to size it up. I think so. Mike actually bet 70K. Right?
Yeah.
I think anywhere between 70 and 100 is fine. I think 70 is a fine amount too. Though.
I do too.
I think it's pretty. I think it actually tells a slightly better story of.
Yeah,
I think
I want to bet. I want to bet 70 against David Peters, and I want to bet 100 in the main event against a person who never buys in for 10K except for the main event.
Right. Who's like, I just can't. I can't even consider this. My ace queen has to go away.
Now. Right.
Right. Like the guy hit the queen or hit the king. He's got ace king or a king jack or whatever. I should have bet the turn. I'm such an idiot. I placed the bet. Yeah. Fair enough. But I think it's a good story to bet 70K against someone who's paying attention.
I agree. Mike doesn't...
Mike so far is fucking killing it.
I hate that.
Every decision so far we like.
All right. As Zawadzki.
Yes.
Do we have to raise on this paired board when the club comes in?
Okay, we don't have to. We have the 9 high draw, and we have to worry about getting called by worse.
Yeah.
Forget about... We're obviously getting action from all better hands. I don't think we're folding out a better hand. But... how many worse hands are really going to call is an important question for us to ask.
6-7 of clubs is like not available, right? Because
it's, Mike, what about the turn?
Yeah, he picked up an open ender on the turn if he had 6-7 of clubs.
100% he's betting the
turn. And then the next, he doesn't have deuce 3 of clubs. He's probably not opening that.
I think we're targeting like ace king here with the ace of clubs, which is like, is he really going to call? I mean, he has the ace of clubs. He could talk himself into it if he knows we're like really making plays with blockers and doing all this. Maybe
aces too.
Yeah, he's going to bet aces a lot on the turn, but not always.
He'll check sometimes when the board's paired.
Yep. That means if he's got aces, that means he can sometimes have king-queen here, too. King-queen is at least a candidate to call us.
Yeah.
It's got all the same problems, though.
Yeah.
As aces. In fact, aces is a better hand. You've got a better two-pair. You block things differently.
I think it might be a little too ambitious to race.
I'm wondering that, too. I thought it was interesting. I mean, look, if we got the king-high flush...
not available.
Oh, because the king of clubs, you're right. So we'd have to have the jack high flush.
Yeah.
We could at least start to consider... that makes more sense to me. Even then, though, there aren't that... because we're going to have jack 10, right?
Yeah, so
that leaves 8-9.
8-9, and which Mike didn't bet on the turn.
So I don't think he can... Mike essentially doesn't have flushes here almost ever, right?
Yeah.
So we're trying to get called by king, queen, or ace, king.
And really hoping he doesn't have king, king.
By the way.
Yeah, or queen, queen.
Yep. I guess quad fives once in a while? I don't know.
Once in a while.
Just bet the turn with quad. He should bet the turn with quad fives, though.
Yeah, but he might not.
Yep.
Like, you might just be afraid that the four is 2-0 of a card, and you're going to
get called by a queen again.
A queen, yeah, but the problem is you can't really cooler the guy at all here, right? You know, like, he's not going to have queens full, and
nope.
You can't have a five.
You're really only getting... it's hard to get more than two streets, unless he really thinks you're crazy bluffy, which, according to Mike anyway, Mike says he hasn't been.
So it's not a total disaster to check the turn with quads, I think.
Okay, but let's come back to Mikolaj.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. We've said the name so many times. How can you not say it?
Say it.
Zawadzki. Is that a hard series of syllables? Is that a difficult series of syllables?
It's not difficult when I hear it first.
Okay.
But reading it, I just want to go slowly, you know, really, really slowly and sound it out.
Okay.
Anyway, so... Mikolaj Zawadzki. Zawadzki decides to raise, and I think it's at best close, and probably I would not want to raise here. Now, Mike only bets 70K, and maybe that's part of it.
Maybe. If you bet 100, maybe it's a call by Zawadzki. I don't know.
But again, are we going to get called by worse hands anyway? I'm really worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I want to just call, even though it feels nitty. Yeah. I think it's probably right to just call.
You mostly aren't going to make any chips, more chips, no matter what you do
yeah.
with this hand in the spot, right? Like, if you raise or if you call, it's all the same.
Yeah.
By the way, and once in a while, you get obliterated because you raise.
Yep.
So, does that, like... Does Mike have more hands that are beating us that that put chips in after we raise or hands that are losing to us? I'd be worried it's the former.
Yeah.
Even though there aren't that many of them, I'm still worried it's the former.
Yep. All right, so that's the end of the hand.
Yeah.
You would think.
It's not.
All right.
There's a lot more that happens.
Okay. So here's where we can ask the question, did Mike Matisau really fuck up?
Yeah, let's ask it.
Because he moves in for 390K total.
How interesting is this?
So 215 more.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this. So,
first
of all, Mikolaj does an interesting thing by checking the turn, right?
Yeah.
So I think Matisau is sitting there. He's like, well, I've had the seven of clubs in my hand. This guy almost never has a club draw.
Yeah.
Right? It was queen 5-5 with two clubs. So it isn't like he had a pair and a flush draw. I guess he could have a four of clubs on the... He could have like ace four of clubs.
Yeah.
And check back on the turn if he wanted to.
Yeah.
That's like it, you would think? Or maybe get a 4-5 and check back on
That's
the turn?
That's a full house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are like the only two obvious things, really, that he could have, I think.
Yeah.
So I can see why Mike is like, this guy's gonna fold. What? Like, unless he has 4-5, like, how can he call?
What are the bluffs? What is Zawadzki bluffing with that he's gonna fold? Is he overvaluing king queen? Is that what Mike thinks?
It seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Is he taking a queen and turning it into a bluff because he's trying to win the pot?
Because he's like, oh, you hit the king a lot, so you can't call with the king.
And you only bet 70K, so it's like kind of a weak bet.
Yeah.
Like, so I can just win.
I bet that's what went through Mike's hand.
Yeah.
Head is like, he's putting me on a king, he has a queen, and he realizes he has to bluff with it.
And he blocks, you know, king, queen, and queen's full. That's pretty good. He's really only losing a king here. That's going to continue.
Yeah.
So I don't hate this move at all by Mike. I got to say, as we're talking about it, like, I get what he does this. 4-5 is a problem. I guess ace four of clubs is a problem. Those should be the only obvious hands that are a problem for us, right?
Well, we know that Zawadzki can show up with a 9-high flush, which we'll talk about whether or not that should be a problem for us.
Right.
Mike is repping kings full, right?
Yes.
That's about it.
I think he's only...
Maybe quads and maybe queens full sometimes.
Yeah, I would think it's more... He could have bet small on the turn if he had quads or queens full. Now, he's not always going to bet that, but he's going to bet those sometimes because you figure, like, if I bet small enough, the clubs are going to come along. And especially if it's quads, you figure the queen is there, the clubs are there. You're mostly going to bet that,
yeah,
I think. But sure, he can have those sometimes. But I think it's mostly king-king makes a lot of sense. Although, again, king-king is going to bet the turn at least a fair amount of the time, too. So all those hands are betting the turn a lot, the hands that he's repping.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
Not great.
Our story is not amazing.
Because he's not repping the nut flush at this point, right? He's just going to call with the nut flush.
I feel like Mike is more interested in Mikolaj's story than his own story, though.
Which
is like, you just don't have it very much here, man. Like, by the way, if you have 4-5 and you have bottom full house, which is essentially the best hand Mikolaj can ever have, you're still getting crushed by all the hands we just said.
Yeah.
All the hands we're repping are still, it's still just a bluff.
Are we clear that Mike doesn't do this for value with a nut flush?
We're not clear, but my guess is he wouldn't put his whole main event on the line when he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
And again, be worried about getting called by a worse hand. Can he get called by a worse hand
right here?
It's a real question. Obviously, he thinks he doesn't know what the guy has, so I shouldn't say he thinks he can fold out some bad flushes or something like that. Although maybe
I don't think he's putting the guy on a flush.
No. You're right.
Mike's thought process is a little bit too narrowed in on one thing. This is just a guess, but my guess is that he's narrowed in on this guy thinks that I have a king and he has a queen and he thinks he has to bluff.
Right.
Yeah.
And guess who can have the really strong hands? Kind of almost only me.
Yeah.
And if you, in 4-5 is the best hand you ever have, that still kind of isn't great.
Yeah.
So it's not bad. It's
probably getting called by 4-5 though.
4-5 is probably going to talk themselves. I think I would talk myself into like, does he ever have the nut flush here ever?
Yeah.
Ever? Like, maybe sometimes.
Right.
I don't know if he should, but doesn't mean he can't.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think I don't hate the move in a practical sense by Mike.
Yeah.
Because I think in a lot of cases, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Just because you're just playing the opponent and not using your hand at all, really. But that's fine sometimes, mm-hmm. especially in the main event. In theory, maybe you're not repping enough. Maybe like you bet the turn with a lot of what you're repping. It becomes a little bit of a problem.
Here's an interesting question. If we're trying to get a queen to fold, do we need to go all in? Could we actually click this back for reals and make it 280K and leave 110 back for ourselves?
Oh, like, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, I think maybe we should do that.
If we're trying to get... By the way, even a hand like Mikolaj has, the nine high flush, is not going to love that action.
Yeah.
Like, that looks unbelievably strong.
It does.
We might get more fold equity with that. I'm not sure if we do or not, but we might.
Yeah.
I think I like a click back better here. But yeah. I like the raise by Mike. I do, but I think I like a click back better.
Yeah, I think I have to like the raise too. Damn it, I like how Mike played it.
It's weird. I'm shocked that I like how Mike played
this. That sucks.
Yes.
I don't like Mike.
I don't either. But I think he did fine here, except that I don't think he needs to go all in.
Yeah, I don't think so
either.
He
should make it 300K or 280K or whatever it is and live to fight another
all right.
day.
So now let's say you're Zawadzki and let's say you're Jonathan Levy Zawadzki.
Yeah.
You know, you're not this guy. Yep. You're Jonathan Levy Zawadzki and you've put yourself in this spot.
Yep.
How do you make your decision?
I mean, we're supposed to use distribution, right?
Yeah.
So let's start there.
Okay.
If I'm thinking about hands, I did this for value. Now, Grin, I may have some bluffs. Maybe I actually have a queen and I'm doing this with a queen.
Yeah.
That's possible. But let's assume for a second that's not the only thing I'm doing here. If I had trip fives, would I have raised the river? Would I have checked the turn and raised the river? Not that often.
I think... So it's hard. This is going to get complicated, but yep. like, so you're Jonathan Levy after the raise, right? But
of
before
course.
The raise, you're Zawadzki, who is a player who raised the nine high flush.
Right.
So I believe he would have raised trip fives.
Okay. Perhaps he would have. Okay. Because Mike bet 70K. It doesn't look like Mike has a flush. Okay. Yeah. But now we just got jammed on.
Yeah.
And we beat no value.
That's for sure.
What bluffs does Mike have? No, he has a super weird bluff, but what bluffs does Mike have in if we are trying to think about it logically?
I think he has potentially ace king with the ace of clubs as a really good bluff candidate here.
That he's going to three bet all in with.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable just call candidate though.
It is, but.
But it's also a reasonable shove candidate.
Like ace queen with the ace of clubs, if you show up with it at all this way, is a reasonable bluff candidate.
Again, he's going to bet that a fair amount of time on the turn, especially with the ace of clubs in his hand, but not always.
Yeah. Any ace of clubs, you can kind of turn to a bluff if you want.
You can.
It's not a disaster.
Yeah. Okay, coming back to distribution. So we think we have some trip fives. Would we rather have trip fives here? I don't think so.
No, because Mike doesn't really have that many 5X full houses.
I guess he can have 5-4 once in a while, but he's often going to bet that on the turn, and mostly we're talking more about king-king and queen-queen. Mostly king-king. The five doesn't have anything to do with that,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Okay. So we've got some trip fives, which don't have, we think, significant blockers. We have the nine high flush. Are we raising any flush then if we're raising the nine high flush?
I think so.
I guess so. If we're raising trip fives, we're raising all the flushes. Now, we may not have very many more flushes. There aren't that many more to have on this board.
Yeah.
Right? I would hope we were betting 6-7 of clubs on the turn when we turn open-ended and he checked to us, but maybe we aren't, but I would hope we were.
I don't know.
I don't know either. We checked the nine high flush.
Yeah.
This still doesn't seem that high in our distribution to me of hands that we actually choose to raise. Maybe it is. If we're doing trip fives, how many trip fives do we really have? Maybe ace five suited. There's two combos. Five, six suited. There's another two combos of.
Maybe 5-7 suited.
Unlikely, but maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So at most, there's six combos of fives.
Yeah.
At most. I guess we can, let's say we have 6-7 of clubs. 7-8 of clubs, 8-9 of clubs.
9-10 of clubs.
9-10 of clubs.
Jack-10
of clubs.
Jack-9 of clubs, probably.
Sure. Jack-9 of clubs, I guess. Ace-X of clubs.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch of those. And 4-5.
Yeah.
And I guess we can have quad fives once in a while. We can't have pocket fours.
No fours.
So this is actually reasonably high up in our distribution.
Yeah, a little bit.
In terms of ranking.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
If we're a player who actually would turn a queen into a bluff, as we think Mike thinks is happening, is that a better hand to call with now than the nine high flush or any flush?
I think if we have king queen now, I don't know that we'd ever raise the river with king queen.
Yeah.
But if we did and we got jammed on, that might be the best.
That's a better hand to call with, but that's probably less of a raise than a queen is a bluff.
Yeah,
just a random queen is like a queen with a club might be the best bluff catcher here that we can show up with reasonably
because we block. queen's full.
Yeah.
Even though he checked the turn.
And if we have queen jack with the jack of clubs, at least we block ace jack of clubs in case he would do it with a nut flush draw. Or nut flush.
Right. I mean, we don't block anything with 8-9 of clubs except the 8-9 of clubs, yeah. Essentially, right? Ace 8 and ace 9, but
yeah.
That's it. Okay, so my initial thought on this was this guy has to fold.
Like, yeah.
He just got 3-bet all in, and he's got the 9 high flush on a paired board. He has to fold.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way in the main event. Like, you shouldn't worry about most other things. Like, they have it when you do this almost always, right? Like, it's really weird for Mike not to have it here.
Yeah.
Like, super weird. And in fact, if it's day one, day two, actually, maybe almost any day of the World Series, unless the guy is crazy, you should just fold it in this spot, I think, almost always. And mm-hmm. you're going to make a kajillion dollars.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I know on Twitter and every poker forum in the world, well, Reddit, poker anyway, there's a lot of talk about how this is an easy call because Mike didn't give him enough fold equity with his jam, but I don't think
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it looks super strong. And I was obviously advocating for a clickback. I think that's even stronger.
Yeah.
Nobody 3-bets the river in the main event without having it or being a little bit nutso. You just don't see it, right? So my inclination is, okay, distribution. I think actually we're probably okay distribution-wise to call, barely.
That's only if we raise trip fives for value.
Right.
If it's only flushes plus, then I think it's a fold.
I might not. I personally don't know that I would raise trip fives for value on the river, worried that I could get value from it. That's the thing.
I mean, we were wondering if Zawadzki should raise the hand he has on the river.
Yes, that's right. So, but we think Zawadzki probably did raise trip fives because he raised this. We don't really know.
We don't know.
The 70K bet by Mike makes it a little bit more enticing, but I don't know. I feel like Mike absolutely can have king here.
Yeah.
And boy, that would really suck.
And queen and quads. I think he can have all those things. I mean, he's not repping them in an incredible way, obviously, having checked the turn. So that might be why Zawadzki ultimately does call, which he does do.
I mean, we didn't even mention flushes, but A, we don't necessarily think Matisau is going to move in with a flush. And B, he checked the turn when he already had the control of the hand. It feels like he's almost always betting the turn with the nut flush draw on the turn, right? So Zawadzki really only has to worry about essentially seven combos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Only seven combos is
then
pretty
you have
good.
To believe that Matisau is going to just pull off a crazy bluff.
Is Mike capable of this play? We see that he is, but before I saw this, I would have said absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I think this would have worked on me is what I'm getting to. I think I would have made a big time exploitative fold and would have been made a fun of forever, for months.
Me too.
But I feel like this is a bad call is my overall hit. And I wonder if Matisau, if we look at every time in his life that he's 3-bet all in on the river in the main event.
No. Yeah.
I don't know how often that's... Or just how about just 3-bet all in on the river? Just 3-bet the river in the main event. Forget about all in. That he hasn't had it, I would guess it's like 2% of the time or something.
Yeah, it's probably 1%, not very
this
much.
This may be the only time. I mean, it's like, it essentially doesn't happen. So I just don't... I think Zawadzki gets really lucky that he's ahead. I don't necessarily think this is a good call.
Well, that's the end of Mike Matisau.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
What a call. So this guy is getting an amazing price, which we did not talk about.
No, we did not.
I mean, it's... What is it? It's 215K to win how much? Some just outrageous amount, right?
390 plus 175.
Plus 162. It's like 850. That's pretty good. You're getting like better than almost, it's not 4-1, but it's like
$750,000. 750K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, it's better than 3-1.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're good 25% of the time.
Doesn't seem like it.
Again, if this isn't the main event, I still don't think we're good. Now that I think about it, like in almost any tournament, except against people who don't understand what they're doing,
right,
or are crazy, you're never good here. Even in like lower stakes tournaments, they just always have it.
Have to call Michael Mizrachi.
Yeah, maybe you have to call the Slim Reaper, right? It's Chidwick.
Yeah, because he's just turning everything into a bluff.
He's just going to do that sometimes, right? Those kinds of guys, like Limitless, you might have to call, but. I don't even know if we're supposed to raise anyway with this hand, let alone call it off. Like, it gets weird fast.
So we like everything Mike did, and we don't really like that much that Zawadzki
did. It's crazy, but it's true.
Yeah.
We think Zawadzki should be betting the turn, maybe probably even just calling the river, probably.
Yep.
And probably folding once Mike moves in.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Well, let's see what the solver has to say and see if it, finally talks some sense into somebody and says Mike did something wrong. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Do it, Wesley. Okay, I'm really sorry to the solver. You have to solve Mike Matisau.
Many have tried. It's just not working out, you know? But here we are. We're going to solve him. Wesley's going to solve him using Pio. Let's see if Mike did all right here in this hand that ended up losing him the main event.
Okay.
Back to the flop. Mike starts messing it up right away. The solver would mostly check Mike's hand. We thought the bet was fine, but the solver's like, nope, you're going to check this hand. This is a check. You should check it. And once bet, Zawadzki should call. He should not raise with his flush draw. It wants him just to call. Fine. Okay. Cool. Under the turn, Mike should check, which he does. Congratulations. He should bet if he has the ace of clubs. Wesley speculates this is because then if a club comes in, then Mike can more easily rep the nut flush. Mm-hmm. But he does not have the ace of clubs, so it's a check, and the solver likes it. We were surprised by Zawadzki's check back on the turn. We thought this was a golden opportunity.
Yes.
The solver agrees. He thinks Zawadzki should bet this flush draw.
Did you say he? The solver's a he now? He thinks?
Did I say that?
Yep.
Sure, why not? The solver is a male.
Great. We're
going with it.
Okay.
Anyway, Zawadzki should bluff this flush draw. Mm-hmm. But of note, Zawadzki should check if he has 6-7 or 7-8 of clubs, supposedly because he has so much equity with the straight draw as well that he doesn't want to get blown off by a check raise.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. But you would think it's like, still, I'd like the fold equity with that hand, but the solver really doesn't want to get blown off those hands, I suppose.
I would have really thought so, too. Maybe the solver has other reasons, but I would have thought, that's a bet, too. Like, we have more equity, and we're really happy to get folds.
Well, the more equity is the ostensible reason the solver doesn't want to bet.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay, here's where Mike really starts messing up. Even though, we ended up liking a lot of Mike's decisions, the solver does not really.
Okay.
Mike should give up 100% of the time with his hand. Never take this shot on the river. Which is interesting.
Even when the king comes, it's interesting. It seemed to us like that was a reasonable bet, but okay.
Yeah, I guess the solver doesn't have like a main event button for people overfolding and stuff, but it probably assumes that Zawadzki's going to call all of his queens, you know?
Yes.
Right. Speaking of Zawadzki, once Mike bets, Zawadzki should raise all flushes. We were wondering if he should raise a flush at all. And here's a surprising output. He can raise as weak as king queen for value, which is top two on the paired board. Mm-hmm. I mean, that feels really thin. Really thin.
It's hard for Mike to have significantly better hands, though, if you think about it, based on him checking the turn, right?
He could have aces. I mean, the board is paired.
Oh, that's fair. He could have aces sometimes. He's often betting aces on the turn, but not always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the checks on the turn maybe make it more reasonable. All right, so the solver now thinks Mike should fold to the raise, so the solver would not have punted off the stack. Mike Matisau did. Of course, Mike does not fold. He moves in. And we were wondering if this should really work. We felt like it should work.
Yep.
But the solver was like, this is never going to work. What are you talking about? Zawadzki can call all flushes and even some king queen.
Wow, wow, wow.
His only folds are pure bluffs.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow. Again, no main event button where we know everyone. Mostly, like, Mike had at least claimed that he was playing super tight the entire time and thought that was going to give him more, opportunity to get bluffs through. Now, we don't know if he actually was playing super tight, of course.
It's odd that it went this way where, like, you and I are not big Mike Matisau fans as a person or a player.
No.
And we thought, like, wow, it kind of sucks that we have to admit that Mike played this hand pretty well. And then the solver's like, no, you guys can dislike this play. This is bad.
Okay, but hold on. Like, it's important to say the solver's just playing against another perfect opponent.
Of course.
Mike is playing in the main event, like on day five,
against
someone he's trying to take advantage of all these things that are going on.
Of course.
So Mike is playing exploitatively.
I still kind of like the play.
Me too.
But the robots still.
The robots hate everything.
Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic. And I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break. But I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe. We still have time to make it home.